Well, hello everyone. It's good to be with you again today. Thanks for joining. I'm really excited about this word because this has been one of the words of great formation in my life for a number of decades. Because I want to talk to you today in terms of, again, entering into personal revival, but I want to talk to you about the gift of weaknesses and how weaknesses fit into the whole into your destiny to be a person who walks in sustainable personal revival. Now remember again that when Paul uses the term in Christ, he's speaking of what we would call revival, that you and I have been placed into the very life of Jesus, to the life that Jesus lives, so that Christ himself might live his life in and through us. You can't get more revived than the life that Jesus lives, right? Like if you could pick any life that you would like to model that's walked out what you would call revival, it would be the incarnate Christ above any other spiritual hero that you might have. Well, that Jesus lives inside of us. And then the Jesus who lives inside of us wants to represent through our humanity the life that he lived out through the humanity that he had from the borrowed womb of Mary. So, in terms of entering into personal revival, that's the life and life more abundant that Jesus has promised. But for many of us, when we hear things about abundant life, about personal revival, that rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being, a peace that passes understanding, a joy unspeakable, full of glory, those kind of descriptions of the normal Christian life. The problem is that many of us feel like that we're so abnormal in terms of the weaknesses that we deal with in our lives that it's impossible for us to experience that kind of life that Jesus lives. That if somehow we could get healed up enough on the inside, we somehow could get set free from all those internal weaknesses, all those flawed things about us, that then we could enter into an abundant life. As a matter of fact, we would say getting rid of all those flawed things in us, weaknesses, is the path to a victorious Christian experience, a life of on the highest plane, a life of personal revival. Well, let me just say to you that I've got a liberating word for you today. And is that in this fallen world, though the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, the Lord uses the very things that are the result of the fall to accomplish his purposes and his destiny in our lives. Now, let me just show you this verse. I wasn't intending to see this one, but let me remind you of this one. Everybody knows this scripture, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things, doesn't cause all things, but God causes all things to work together for good. So it doesn't cause all things. God didn't cause the fall. God's not the cause of human brokenness. But we know that he calls all things to work together for good. That's all things. That includes our weaknesses and our flaws. That though he didn't cause them, you know, your unique version of the flesh is a result of the fall and the kind of environmental culture that you lived in growing up and you know, the kind of relationships you had in your home with your parents, whatever, what you've inherited in your DNA, all that kind of stuff. God didn't cause all that, but he will cause everything. That's what he says. God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now here's his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Now Christ-likeness, and I don't mean by that trying to imitate the life of Christ, but Christ-likeness is God's destiny, God's purpose for every Christian. You may have different assignments in this world, in the Lord. You may have different ministry gifts, But every one of us have the same purpose or calling in our life, and that is to represent the life of Christ. Not just represent his life, not just try to live for Christ. That's the heart to want to be surrendered is great and wonderful, but to actually live from Christ, for Christ himself, in an fullness way, that's probably not very good grammar, but in his fullness, to be able to live out his life through us. That's Christ-likeness. It's only an imitation of Christ because it's a participation of Christ first. So as you're participating in his life and therefore representing him, then your life is looking like Christ, Christ-likeness. Okay? And God causes all things to work together for good. God causes all things to work towards that destiny, towards your Christ-likeness, towards your experiencing, that's what experiencing personal revival, that's what personal revival is Christ-likeness being manifested in you and through you, in your interior life, in the life that you live, in your action and behavior in this world. That's what revival is on a personal level. And so all the things in your life, God will cause all of them to work together towards that purpose. He didn't cause them, but he's so brilliant. He's so God that he's able to take all those things and use them to actually advance us towards our purpose and destiny to realize in our lives and to reveal Christ-likeness. Now, here's this thing. I'm going to make sure I keep up with the time so that I don't keep you later than I promised. When I first, years ago, discovered that Jesus Christ was the only person who could live the Christian life, I discovered that 2 years into, I think I shared this earlier, 2 years into my walk with the Lord at 25 years old. At 23, I fully surrendered everything. At 25 is when I came into the place where I began to understand what it meant for Christ to live his life through me. It was a remarkable and amazing experience. That's the revelation that I had been grafted into the very life of Christ and that Christ had been grafted into my very life so that he could live out his life and his story through my life and my life story on a daily basis. Stunning. Amazing. The problem was that after coming into this place of experiencing or by revelation that Christ alone could live the Christian life, I had so many personal weaknesses. I was suffering from clinical depression and clinical anxiety that I didn't think it was possible for me to live the Christian life victoriously because for me to allow Christ himself to live his life through me because I was so messed up. I had so many weaknesses, particularly in the area of fear and anxiety. I suffered from clinical depression and again, clinical anxiety. And so I thought that those things disqualified me. And that somehow I had to get my act together so that Christ himself could live his life through me. If I could somehow get healed up of all those interior things, those weaknesses, then Jesus would be free to flow through me. Rivers of living water could come forth. And for 2 years, that's what I believed. But then I came to see something in Scripture, and God used some other people in my life, my spiritual father and others, to show me the truth. That my weaknesses did not disqualify me from Christ living the Christian life. My weaknesses were the very things that God used to posture me to live by faith, allowing Christ himself to live the Christian life because I knew I couldn't. My weaknesses didn't disqualify me from Christ living through me. My weaknesses disqualified me from trying to live the Christian life in my own strength for Jesus, even out of great sincerity. You with me? So here's this place in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. These are my life verses. Without going through all this, because we don't have time, Paul finds himself experiencing a weakness in his life that he described as a thorn in his flesh. He said it was a messenger of Satan to keep him from exalting himself. Now, as a result of this weakness, and we don't know what the weakness was, there's a lot of people that try to define this weakness because they're trying to make it fit into their theology. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us in 2 Corinthians 12 what the weakness was. It was just something that really was severe to Paul. But he doesn't tell us what it is. And I'm convinced the reason the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us is because our human tendency is if he'd said, well, this was Paul's weakness, we would say, yeah, it was easy for Paul to say that Christ can manifest himself through that weakness, but you don't understand my situation. We do that, don't we? And so to eliminate any kind of self-pity or to take away any of our excuses, the Holy Spirit does not tell us intentionally. He intentionally doesn't tell us what the problem is. And therefore, I think it's silly that when we try to explain what the problem is, we're trying to do something God intentionally didn't do. All we know is it's a weakness. It was a weakness that was so impactful in Paul's life that says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "And concerning this weakness, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me." The word there, begged. Paul begged three times that God would take the weakness away, believing that it was necessary for the weakness to go away for Paul to continue in his journey, in his advancing, in his walk with the Lord, to fulfill his destiny personally in Christ. Now, here was God's answer to him. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" That's powerful. The Lord's answer was, what the Lord said to him, here's the thing, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults." Those are things that happen on the outside of our life, circumstances that can cause us to feel vulnerable and weak. "With insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Now, what is Paul saying here? Here's the truth. This is what I had to discover, because I thought my weaknesses disqualified me. I discovered this, that my weaknesses weren't offensive to the Lord. They didn't disqualify me. It didn't cause him to turn his back on me. He was drawn to them. He didn't create them. He didn't create the brokenness. But he's so brilliant, he causes all things to work together for good, that I might experience Christ-likeness. And so those weaknesses, I realized that they didn't disqualify me. Instead, they were the very things that postured me to realize that the only way I can live the Christian life is by the power of Jesus, by the grace of God to be revealed through me moment by moment. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He's not saying that you stay in your weakness. He's not saying that you live out of your flaws. He's saying that in your flaws, his flawlessness is made perfect if you'll simply lean into his grace step by step. Let me give you an example for time purposes. Fear was my big issue, and that's what my flesh struggles with the most. When I'm walking up the flesh, it's going to look like fear. But an example would be if I go into a circumstance, in a situation, and fear rises up in me because it just feels like a threatening circumstance or whatever, or a circumstance that makes me feel very inadequate. Jesus will remind me, the one who lives in me, the one who's my life, will speak into me and say, "Chuck, I'm not afraid here. I don't feel inadequate at all. I have peace about this." And I'm reminded in that moment that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And I don't live out of my weaknesses. Instead, in my weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. And so in that moment, I simply will sink into him, put on Christ. Remember the words "put on" means to sink into. I'll just surrender to that truth about Christ who's in me, and I'll thank him that he's not afraid, that he's got peace about this, and he can handle the situation. And when I do, the peace of Christ overcomes. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Instead of the Lord, quote, healing me and me becoming a non-fearful person, I get to live from the fearlessness and the courage of Jesus. I get to live by the peace of Jesus, not just some human kind of thing, but this Christ kind of thing, supernatural. My weaknesses didn't disqualify me. They were the very thing that reminded me, that gave me the opportunity to live from Christ instead of trying to be strong and brave and live for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So therefore, Paul said, he boasts about his weaknesses. Not so he was running around boasting about being sinful. He was boasting about the fact that he couldn't live the Christian life. Only Christ could. And step by step, we walk it out. My spiritual father used to make this statement, that moment by moment, situation by situation, our simple prayer is this: Lord, I can't. And you never said I could. Handle this. Deal with this. Lord, I can't. And you never said I could. But you can. And you always said you would. Thank you. See, that's strength being made perfect in weaknesses. So if you have felt that your weaknesses and your flaws have disqualified you from living in spiritual revival, personal revival, expressing Christ-likeness, then that's a lie from the enemy. Because it's those very things that God uses, your fallenness, that God uses to manifest his Christ-likeness through you. Leanne Payne used to talk about, I think she may have gotten this from C.S. Lewis, we have to learn to celebrate our smallness so that we can manifest his largeness. Okay? Alrighty. Have a great day, no longer feeling guilty about the fact that you have weakness. Now, no longer settling for living in them, being controlled by them, but no longer feeling guilty that you have weakness. Instead, they're the very thing that reminds you that Christ alone can live the Christian life, and you look to him step by step, and when you do, instead of living for him, you live from him, and you walk in a supernatural lifestyle. Okay? God bless.